Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's a beautiful day to gather together, to worship the Lord together. It's been a good morning so far, so we're just thankful to be able to continue in that. And if any guests are here with us today, well, thank you for joining us. We're glad you're with us. Jim had mentioned in the announcements of the prayer walk, briefly, I want to kind of elaborate on that, maybe a shameless plug, possibly. But this prayer walk coming up on the 23rd, it's a Saturday, it'll be that morning, it's in your bulletin. People have different thoughts and ideas on what that looks like, to walk around town, to bang on people's doors, hand them some literature, and ask to pray for them. You might think, Casey, that's crazy, I'm not interested in that, I'm not called to that. Or you might think, yeah, that sounds exciting, sign me up. So wherever you fall on that scale, that's fine, but at the very least, be praying for that morning. Be praying that when we go out and talk to our community and spread that information around and ask to pray with people, that the Spirit of God is moving, His grace is going ahead of us and preparing for that day. I truly believe that God is on the move, that He's working in our community, He's working here in our church, and I just desire to see a supernatural movement of God during this Easter season as we draw near to that Resurrection Sunday. Amen? That's what we want to do. We want to just continue to spread the good news of the gospel in our community. I'm gonna start with a word of prayer. I know we've been praying some already this morning. I just think it's helpful and important. We know God's with us here this morning. We just want to just seek Him, quiet our hearts, allow Him, His Spirit to move this morning as we dive into His Word. So let's just seek Him before we get going. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, You've been so good to us. Your grace is in such abundance. Your mercy is new every morning, Lord. You're with us here this morning as we corporately gather. You give us that freedom to join together, Lord, to praise You, to worship You, to give You glory and honor in everything that we do, like we just sung. Lord, have that be our hearts this morning. Soften our hearts, Lord, to the message of Your word, and our ears attentive, and our conscience maybe willing to accept where You'd have us today and what You'd have us do with this message, Lord. I just pray that You move, and not only up here, but downstairs with the teachers that are teaching our kids, bringing up that next generation, Lord. Move down there in our community as we go out and we pray for them in a few weeks, Lord, that Your grace would go ahead and set the stage for that morning. That we can just go out there and love upon our neighbors and tell them about the good news of the gospel and invite them to come on a Sunday Easter service morning for breakfast and a time of fellowship and a time of worship, You, Lord God. We just desire that, Lord. So we just call upon You this morning before we get started. Move, have Your way. All this in Your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to transition a little bit this morning. Jim's been speaking on spiritual warfare, and it's been a blessing to me, that message that Jim has brought. I think it's timely, I think it's relevant, I think it's necessary, and it's been powerful. So I thank him for that, and I've been praying for him as he continues to bring through the messages to come on that. So, but we're going to transition from spiritual warfare to God's faith and love today as we continue to walk through the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians 1. We're going to be reading 15 to 23. I've asked Olivia Neal to come up here. Come on up, Olivia. She's going to read our scripture for us this morning. She'll be in the New King James. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23 is what she'll be reading, and then we'll be focusing on 15 through 17. So go ahead, Olivia.
Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that has been named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Thank you, Olivia. So that's where we're going to be heading in the future, is continuing to unpack that. We've already talked about some of that, but we're going to continue to go through Ephesians. But this is a transition. Back in January, I spoke on every spiritual blessing. And we went through verses 3 through 14, and we discussed what that meant. And then the conclusion of that, I said, Jesus is every spiritual blessing. The spiritual blessings aren't possible outside of Jesus. So that took place. And then this at the end, in 13 and 14, Paul concludes that long Greek sentence with a couple promises. And I'm just going to paraphrase what he's saying. But basically, this group of believers in Ephesus, they've come to know Jesus. They've trusted and believed. They heard the good news of Christ. They're followers of Christ. And they've been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of their inheritance, and that they're God's possession, and all to God's glory. So that's how 13 and 14 conclude. And then Paul transitions to this wonderful prayer of thanksgiving. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 15. We'll pick up there. And he starts it with, therefore, or other translations might be, because of, or for this reason. So what just happened, because of all that just took place in Ephesus, they come to know Christ. So he picks up there and he starts that way. Because of that, he says this, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So he transitions, he makes that jump. And Paul is excited about this. He's thanking God for what's going on in Ephesus. He's praying to God and giving him the glory for all these powerful evidences that are going on inside the body of believers in Ephesus. So he's praying for them. And he talks about what that means and what actually it means to be a Christian. He gives some qualifiers for that. So they know, they heard the truth of the good news in the first section. They heard it. They heard the gospel message. They've decided to follow Jesus. They're believing and they're trusting. And now there's evidence in their life that that's taking place. And it's more than just a raising of a hand on a Saturday or a Sunday morning at church. They've moved beyond that. And we encourage that raising of a hand on a Sunday morning, confessing, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. But now they're starting to bear fruit. And that's what's going on. So Paul is thanking God for that in this prayer. And he gives these two forms of evidence, and they're this. Number one, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, love for all the saints. So these two qualifiers in their life, this evidence that, yes, they've trusted and believed in Jesus. Jesus is Lord of their life, and we got this to look at, to recognize that this is happening. So friends, Christianity does not exist outside faith and love. Faith and love, they go together. The amount of faith you have means nothing unless it's rooted in Jesus. You can put your faith in a lot of things, as we'll discuss going forward, but your faith means nothing if it's not rooted in Jesus. The amount of faith means nothing if it's not rooted in Jesus. You can have all the faith in the world. If it's not rooted in Jesus, it's worthless as far as your eternity and far as living this life and along with how Jesus would have us live as Christians. And on the flip side, you could have the tiniest amount of faith and it could be all so powerful because it's rooted in a powerful God. So the amount of faith really doesn't matter as long as it's rooted in Jesus. So how much faith do you need if it's rooted in Jesus? And I think scripture answers that question for us. We're going to go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 20, it answers the question, how much faith do you need if it's rooted in Jesus? And this is a story, it actually goes along with what Jim's been talking about, this spiritual warfare. There's this boy, he's possessed. He's convulsing and he's throwing himself into the fire and he's throwing himself into the water. And the dad is just burdened by this behavior of this boy. So he calls upon the disciples. They try to cast the demon out of this young boy and they fail. The demon doesn't come out. So now the dad comes and talks to Jesus. And Jesus rebukes the disciples. And then he goes on and he says this in verse 20 of chapter 17. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So he gives the disciples this rebuke. Now, I can relate with the disciples at this point, because I remember early in my walk, I was reading maybe the first, second, third time I've read this scripture at a Bible study or something. I went home and, you know, I put the matchbox car on the kitchen table and by myself, and I started to pray, you know, I got some faith. I bet I can move this car. So you start praying and you start hoping that maybe that car would just wiggle something. I can't be the only one that's thought that when you read this scripture. So I'm doing that. Of course, nothing happened. The car didn't move. My faith was in the wrong place, right? And that's what is going on here. The disciples had a misplaced faith. They couldn't cast out the demons because, according to the commentary by Leon Morris, perhaps the disciples had been treating their new power to cast out devils as a new possession of their own, like the strength was inside of them, a kind of magic. They would go through the routine to drive the devil out, but the devil wouldn't come out, end of quote. Jesus tells them if they have faith, even if it's the size of a 1 millimeter seed, that if it's placed in an all-powerful God, big things will happen. And that's the reality of it. The amount of faith that you have really isn't important. The point is that you have faith and it's in Jesus. That's what matters. If your faith is rooted in Jesus, nothing God authorizes you to do will be impossible. If your faith is in Jesus. The key is your faith must be in Jesus and nothing else. And here's the tragedy. Sometimes people go around saying, you need more faith in your life. If you just had a little more faith in your life, this would happen. Or this would, something, some circumstance would change. But that is misleading and not helpful. It's not the amount of faith. It's the object of your faith. Your faith must be in Jesus. And then you'll see the power of God. And it must align with his will. The two must come into alignment with each other. The object of your faith must be exclusively Jesus. I'll give you two examples for today of faith, misplaced faith. For this afternoon, I was asked to go on an airplane ride. And I've never been on a small airplane ride before, so I'm excited about that. But this afternoon, I am placing my faith in an airplane and in the pilot. All of it. And I'll let you know next week how my faith worked out. Hopefully good. Okay? But that's where I'm putting my faith, and I hope the object of my faith is sound today, and it doesn't let me down. Okay? That's an object of that faith. Another one you guys are all familiar with. We usually have these storms come in the winter, right? This one was a weird winter. We didn't have any big storms. But typically, we have lots of winter storms. So we drive along. We're on our way to work in the morning. We come up to the intersections. The plow are out. And we put a lot of faith in that left pedal, a lot of faith. And then we step on it, and then we seemingly accelerate because there's a layer of black ice under us, and we skid through the intersection, end up in the ditch, or have an accident. The object of our faith failed us. Get the idea? So it's not the amount of faith, it's the object of your faith. And if that object fails, you're done. So we need to have our faith exclusively in Jesus. And the amount of faith you have, that will change over time. The reason Jesus uses that picture of a mustard seed, because it doesn't remain a seed. It does eventually grow and turns into this beautiful tree in the garden, right? Our faith will do the same thing. Our faith will mature. It will grow. It will turn into something bigger. But don't let somebody come up and try to convince you, if you had more faith, this, that, or the other thing will happen. Just make sure your faith is rooted in Jesus. That's the point. Back to our verse. Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, that's our faith in Jesus, and your love for all the saints. That's number two. The love for all the saints. Love for God's people, love for all the saints, and then Jesus takes it a step further, doesn't he? He even says the love for our enemy. He doesn't let us get by with just the people we like and we're friends with. He says, no, take it a step farther. A love for everyone. Your faith, if it finds itself or focused in Christ, then it will express itself in the love for others. It has to. The two cannot exist outside one another. And we're not going to take my word for it. We're going to dive into Scripture. And Paul gives all kinds of connections in the New Testament and the epistle writings of Paul, this faith and love connection. They're so intertwined. We're going to unpack that. Galatians 5:5-6 gives us this good picture of the faith and love connection. All my scriptures in the New King James today will be up on the screen too. I'm going to move through these rather quickly, but you can flip through them and check them out, or write them down and go back and check them out. They're pretty profound. So Galatians 5:5-6, it says, "For we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything." So at that point, it's not a working of the flesh, but faith working through love. There's our connection, our faith and love connection. 1 John 3:14 says it also. 1 John, it says, "We know we have passed from death to life," right? That's in Ephesians too. We see that in Ephesians. We were once dead in our sin and our trespasses, or trespasses and sin, and then we were brought into the fold through the grace of God, and we've come into life. So because we know we went and passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. There's our qualifier. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That connection, the two are that entwined. If you have a faith for Jesus, you will have a love for others. They cannot be separated. They're that connected. Galatians 5:22, you guys are familiar with this verse. This is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. There's our love connection. And then it follows: joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's our love faith connection. And if you go into verse 23, gentleness and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. These are qualifiers that are just telling us that if you have faith, you will have love for others. They go hand in hand. If your faith is in Christ, it is impossible not to have love for others, especially for those in the body of believers. We will love one another. And I just, one more, and I love the connection in this one. This is 1 Timothy 1:5. We're going to spend a little time on this one. 1 Timothy 1:5 gives this clear and powerful point on this love-faith connection. It says, Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. Our love and faith connection. But I like this one particularly because it says the purpose of the commandment. Notice that singular, the single commandment, to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That single commandment. And then it goes on to give three separate items: love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. It's a beautiful picture of exactly what Paul is praying. It's the sincere faith in Jesus equals love from a pure heart, which is faith in action. That's loving others. It's faith in action and in a good conscience, because when you're loving others in that sense of faith and caring for others, it gives you a sense of a good conscience, which is the obedience to God's commandment. That means you're obeying his will for your life. In return, it glorifies him. It glorifies God. They are that intertwined. James takes it even one step farther, and he says, faith without works is dead. So faith without love and action, there is no faith at all. They're that connected. They're that intertwined. So why is it important, and how does it relate to God's glory? That's the third piece of the puzzle. So, brothers and sisters, if you go around claiming that Jesus is your Savior and you have faith in Jesus and you don't love others, you're lying. Your faith is not in you. And the same is true. If you go around speaking how much you love people but you reject Jesus, the love is not in you. The true love of Christ is not in you. They have to go hand in hand. Either way, your motive is un-Christ-like. They are that together. It could be rooted in greed. It could be selfishness, self-exaltation. It could be your fulfillment of your own agenda. But if you're doing either the faith or the love and they're not connected, it's not faith and love to glorify God. And they need to go together for that outcome. Your faith together with the love of others should be to the glorification of God. They should all be together. That is why Paul's praying for them. They were rooted in faith and love. He knew that. He recognized it. So Paul had not stopped giving thanks to them in verse 16. He gives thanks to God and he remembers them in his prayers. Who is he thanking? He's thanking God. He's thanking God for what's happening in Ephesus. He's thanking God for the grace that went out. He's thanking God for all these wonderful things that are happening there and that they're trusting and believing in Jesus and then they're loving others. They're loving the brethren, right? We do the same thing. If somebody raises their hand on a Sunday morning and says, I want to follow the Lord Jesus, or somebody comes to us during the week and says, I want to trust and follow Jesus, we don't thank the person. We don't thank the church. We don't thank the pastor. We thank God that his grace went out and that person came to know God. That's exactly what Paul is doing. He's thanking him for all that, for his grace and his love and his mercy. It's exactly what's going on. So the last point is God's glory. They're all connected in this and Paul ties it all together in verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. This is profound. As I was diving in and studying this, I didn't really recognize it at the first time I went through it. But as I was reading it, he puts God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to think about that for a second. He didn't have to write it that way. He didn't have to write it God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He could have just wrote God the Father of glory. That would have worked. That would have worked for this passage, but he didn't. So if we think about that, if we think about it for a second, they have faith, they have love, their love is in action, and now Paul is praying for the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, right? So Paul, the God, the Father of glory, or he wrote God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. And the reason he did this, what is our relationship to God outside of Jesus? What is our relationship to the Father without Jesus? If we come into his presence without the shed blood of Jesus, what happens? It's death, right? So that's why he makes this connection. He states it for us, and he's talking about the Trinity here. He's talking about the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why he's saying this. He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, all in blood, the shed blood of Jesus. They're connected. They're all together. And he's pointing that out to us. We cannot come into the presence of an almighty, holy, holy, holy God without the shed blood of Jesus and being guided by the Holy Spirit. And all of this back to God's glory. It's a wonderful picture. Picture of the Trinity. We preach this all the time. Jim and I both do. People will say, yeah, I know God. I believe in God. I know God exists. We hear it. But then we say, what did you do with Jesus? What's your relationship to Christ? Have you surrendered to him and made him the Lord? Is he your personal Savior? Right? We take it that step farther because it's that important. It's wonderful that you know God and that he exists, but what have you done with Jesus? And are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you? They're that connected and they have to be. And that's what Paul is doing here. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, along with the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. And this is our supernatural lens that we keep talking about. We want to see the world through this lens, through the lens of the Trinity. We want to see it with all three in line. And that's what was going on in Ephesus. They had a revelation of who God was, the spirit moving in the shed blood of Jesus. They seen the full picture and they lived their life according to that picture. They seen the world through that lens. God's glory goes way beyond the church in Ephesus. The spiritual blessing that we learned back in January, why were they given? If we remember it, it was to the praise and glory of God. Paul is praying that the promised Holy Spirit would reveal the wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him so they would understand God's will in their life. They would see the world through this supernatural lens. That they would understand the mysteries of this glorious grace and his goodwill towards all of us, all back to his glory. It's a wonderful picture. So, I believe Paul is praying for them, and he's praying for us also, all of us who believe, and all of us that he would desire all of us to believe, not that we would only understand this, but we'd enjoy every spiritual blessing that we're given, and then in return, it'll bless God back by giving him glory for it all. So it's faith, it's love, and it's glory. That's why we're created, to bring glory to God in everything that we think, we say, and we do. And he sent the Holy Spirit into us, the Spirit of God, so that we were able to accomplish this through his power, and then that our faith rooted in Jesus, we would love others, and then right back again to God's glory. Isn't that wonderful? It's just a beautiful picture. I just love, when I was putting this together, it just kind of came to life to me. I liked how the three, it was just so intertwined and so connected, and they're all necessary. They're all necessary. Now, typically, I would have an application at the end, or moving towards the end, but today I got a challenge. And the challenge has been weighing on my heart. I've been praying about this, and, you know, as we realize what this is saying, this faith, this love, and God's glory. And do we think, is this a reality in our life? Is this truly a reality? Does this define who we are? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus producing a love for others, which on the backside is glorifying God? Is that a reality in your life? The faith in the Lord Jesus Christ producing a love for others, which you're going out above and beyond to share and to love others, which in return glorifies God and magnifies who he is. Does that describe your everyday walk with Jesus? Are you reading the scriptures? Are you diving into your word and see what it has to say to you, allowing the Spirit to speak to you so you know the will of God in your life, and then not only knowing it, but you're going out and doing it, taking it to that next step? Are you being challenged by that? Are you being challenged by God through scripture? Do you desire to spend time in prayer? Is prayer a priority in your life? Do you get up in the morning and thank him for the new day? As you're going out through the day and things are happening in your life, are you recognizing where that's coming from? Are you giving honor and glory to God in everything? Is prayer important to you? Do you desire to love others despite of all the craziness going on in our world? Do you take time to pray for people, to love people, to care for them? Is that a part of your everyday life? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in your life to bring glory to God? Is that a reality? Are you taking time out of your day for that? When all the challenges that come each day, do you consider it pure joy, regardless of the trials, and allow them to test your faith and to grow in perseverance? Now, aren't my words, now it's James 1. Read all about it, right? Is that a reality in your life? Do you enjoy the spiritual blessings that God has blessed you with? And do you live in a state of victory as living out your Christian walk? We're going to sing about that in just a few minutes. Is that a reality? Do you experience hope? Do you have hope today? Not only for eternity, but today, the day that God's given you. Do you have hope today? Do you have joy? Joy of the Lord in your life each and every day. Of course, we'll have eternal joy, but do you live in a sense of joy? Do you see every day as a gift, and do you glorify God for it? Do you walk each day with a sense of peace? And then do you have that love for others, that people would recognize that love in you, and they would ask where that's coming from, and you'd say, Jesus, all back to God's glory. Is that a reality in your life? And here's the thing, friends. I know it's not. I know it's not a reality about in everyone's life that's sitting here today, and on earlier, those online. I know it's not a reality, and I don't know each and every one of your stories. I don't know you all in depth. I'm not some sort of, I don't have all that insight, but I do know what the statistics say. And if I follow the statistic, there would be somebody inside this room that wouldn't align with. My friends, I know there's people in this room that are lacking faith that is rooted in Jesus. Your faith must be in Christ. I'm not talking about the amount of faith. I'm talking about the object of your faith. It must be Jesus. I know there's people in this room that are at odds with others, and the love of Jesus is not in them because they're not loving others like Christ would have us love others. I know there's people in this room that are hurting. I know it's a reality. I'm just thinking this week alone, we got two funerals. So there's a couple families right there that just lost a dear loved one to them. So they're hurting. Maybe it is that loss of a loved one. Maybe it's dealing with a sickness or a treatment or a cancer. We got that going on in this room. I know there is. Maybe there's some tension at home between families, husband and wife or kids. I had two people after the service greet me in the foyer and tell me about the rocky relationships they have between them and their fathers. And they would just love this reality to come in and they could have this sense of peace and forgiveness and reconciliation. That's a reality in this room. I know it is. Jess and Jane, I'm going to invite you forward for a closing song. And here's really my challenge. I want you to evaluate yourself with that. But my challenge is, what would happen if we actually stepped out in faith today? What would happen right now if we just stepped out and we came forward now or after or during, whenever, but today? What if we took time out of our day today and actually seek prayer to confess what's going on in our life, asking for forgiveness, and we could have freedom from them hurts? And we could have a sense of peace. And I believe it is available today. What if we acted like the Church of Jesus Christ and allowed the Holy Spirit to heal some of them hurts, some of them hang-ups, some of them hardships in our lives? What if we stepped out in faith this morning and allowed that to happen? What if there's a sense of conviction on your heart today and you know the Lord's saying, you need to go and get some help with that. You need some prayer. You need some time of confession. What if that's going on? And remember that spiritual warfare Jim's been talking about? You're probably hearing another voice that says, nah, not necessary. You're fine. You don't need prayer. You're good where you're at. That's the war. There's two voices. Which one are you going to listen to today? Are you going to step forward in faith and allow us to come and pray with you for a time of healing? I see people struggle all week long, and somehow on a Sunday morning, they come into church and everything's fine and good and well, and then they walk out the door, and then we hear about it on Tuesday morning. I'm inviting you this morning, come on up and pray with Jim, pray with myself. You can pray during the song. You can pray after the service. We'll be here. We'd love to pray with you. And if you have not put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would certainly like to pray with you about that this morning. Friends, I didn't mention this first service due to the Facebook recording, but you know, this really is a supernatural battle we're in, as Jim's been preaching, this spiritual warfare and this idea of faith and love and glorification to God and this idea of calling you forward for a time of prayer. It really is a thing. You guys probably, for those that seen the paper last week, there was something front and center on the newspaper of a Christian that failed. And it was put on the front page of the paper, and the devil loves that. He loves every bit of it. But what would have happened if that young man, I don't know his age, maybe he's an older fellow, what would have happened if he would have stepped out in faith, confessed what was going on in his life, sought forgiveness, and was made clean of that? It would have been a radically different situation. It's important to step out in faith sometimes, confess for freedom and trust and have that hope and peace that lies within us. So that was why I was weighing on my heart. That's why I called for a time of prayer today. If there's something on your heart that needs to be dealt with, come and see Jim, myself. You don't have to be today, but this week, sometime, we'd love to have that chat with you. We hate to see that sort of thing happen. So let's seek the Lord in prayer this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to corporately gather together. Lord, you know each and every one of us. You know each and every one of us intimately, every thought, every action. If we really ponder that, there's nothing outside of you. And Lord, you desire that relationship. You love us. You give us your Son. You pour out your mercies. Your grace is available. And you just want us to trust and believe and follow on you and to be right standings with you and to come together with the body and join together to help lift each other up. That's what we're for, to come together and move and help one another in this battle, this supernatural battle, seeing the world through that lens and what you have for us, Lord. When we hear them voices in our hearts that says, go and seek for help and repent. And then we hear that other voice that says, no, you're fine. Continue. Don't bring it up, Lord. One of them is from you and one of them is not. Have us be listening to the right voice and act upon it. Step out in faith and trust and loving others and all to your glory in each and every day in our lives, Lord. Help us and guide us through that battle, through that walk, through that war. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing. And we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.